Today is Thursday, the 16th day of May, 2024. My name is Craig Call. We're convened in a hearing on a variance request from Andrew Patterson, Narwhal Homes, involving a fence on 6000 North, if I understand it right. And basically, let me mention I know nothing about this except for information that was provided by email to all the parties, which included the application, an image, a partial map, as well as comments received from Little and from Howden, two comments from Howden, one involving M.N.G. Williams. Other than that, I believe that's all the documents I have. I should disclose that the map was quite limited. So I took upon myself the prerogative of Googling the address. And so I not only observed a larger area map on Google, but I also looked at the images that were taken from the street by Google and did a 360-degree pivot. Those images were taken in December of 2023. So they show the property in its pre-development condition, which may be the way it is now. I don't know. So, to start us out, let me just ask anyone who is planning to speak to identify themselves so that I have the name for the record. And the nice thing about Zoom is I think I know how to spell most people's names that are shown, but I'll ask if I need more specificity. So, anyone who'd like to speak, please introduce yourself.
Okay, I'll jump in. My name is Israel Patterson, and I represent the development side and the builder.
Your first name again?
Israel,
Ralph.
like the country. Israel, like the country. Israel.
All right. And are you identified on my screen as an iPhone?
That's me.
Yes.
Not sure that's
That helps. Okay. Any others?
I'm Andrew Patterson, Narwhal Homes, Patterson Development.
All right. Thank you.
Rob
I'm Cassie
Patterson.
Sanderson.
Oh,
Sorry.
sorry.
I was just going to say my name's Cassie Sanderson. I'm also with Narwhal.
And spell your last name if you would, Cassie.
Sanderson, Sanderson.
Perfect. Got it. Thank you, Rob.
Then Rob Patterson for the city, unrelated to all of the Pattersons in the area.
I think I had just busted in a family reunion here or something. I wasn't sure.
It is.
And we're Josh and Tamara Patterson. No, I'm kidding. We're Josh and Tamara Little. Love to be part of the Patterson clan, but we own the property just north of the new development. So just interested in what's happening there.
All right, thank you.
I'm not sure if we need to speak. I've wrote a comment, but interested in what's going on.
Sure. Well, that will be available, and I won't have to ask you to spell your name when you do. So we're good. Thank
Right.
you. Any others?
I'm not planning on speaking, but for the record, I am Jay Boffman with the city. I am the Assistant City Administrator and Community Development Director.
And I am Stephanie Cottle. I will also probably not be speaking a lot unless I have questions for the record. I am the city recorder.
All right, thank you. Well, typically how we do these is we ask the person who's requesting the who's made the application to explain it, and then ask the city to respond. If there's anyone who else who'd like to speak, a third party, a neighbor, we want to provide that opportunity and then allow both the city and the applicant to respond. That sounds a little more structured than it is. It's meant to be more conversational, as long as it doesn't, as long as that can be done in a in an orderly way. So perhaps Andrew or Israel, you could start us out by just explaining what the purpose of the variance is. I have read the material, so we don't need to be too repetitive. Just make sure I give you the chance to offer some comment.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'll just, I mean, yeah, in a nutshell, because, yeah, you guys are all kind of already know, but we have several buyers that are very interested in the pieces of property next to that 6,000. And they've brought it to our attention now on multiple occasions that they love it, that they want to be in that area, but that road is so busy and just too noisy for them. And we thought, okay, if it was just one person, maybe, but when it's now multiple people, we thought, all right, it sounds like, because we were thinking we'd put a fence in there no matter what. I mean, it's not required by the city, but we thought to make the subdivision feel upscale and all that, we plan to put one in. But we started realizing it sounds like we're getting enough requests for an 8-foot fence that we ought to just see if that would be allowed, permitted. And then it just seems to go a long way in easing our potential buyers' minds.
Tell me where you are in the process of application. Has the subdivision plat been approved?
Oh yeah, the lots are all developed. We're actually building one home in there right now. Another one is just about through design, and then a third one just finished its design. So it's coming along.
Is there a development agreement involving this subdivision?
Andrew, what did we do on the development? I know we didn't need a fence in there, but I've always thought we should ought to put one in, but I don't, you would
But
probably know better than I do.
is there a contract, a development agreement involved
No,
in the
there's not.
subdivision?
No, I don't
No.
think there is.
Okay. That explains it, I guess. Thank you. What's the city's perspective on this, Mr. Patterson?
Thank you. The city does oppose this. It's nothing against Andrew, Israel, or Narwhal or Patterson development as a whole, more as a matter of fairness for all of the other developers in Highland. Of the variance standards, they have to show a hardship and special circumstances associated with the property. And this is one of many subdivisions in Highland that are adjacent to collector roads. 6000 West is a collector road. They're right, it is busy. But right across the street, you actually got a comment from a developer, MNG Williamsview. It's across the street, has the exact same impact. They're building a 6-foot theme wall along their road. We have other developments. One went in recently with Mill Haven along Canal Boulevard, same collector status of a road. All of them been held to the 6-foot standard. It's more of, from the city's view, if this is an exception that should be granted, it's better done as a code amendment to allow all residents and developers the same benefit of having an 8-foot barrier or sound wall or noise wall along any collector or arterial street. But that's not what the code is. And more specific, without the state standard for a hardship requires it to be specific to the property and not an economic value type hardship. So we don't see those as being met necessarily in this case. Again, if this is something that I think if they're interested in, it's a code amendment would probably be a better route to see whether this is a to fix this as a policy matter and allow everyone an equal footing to take advantage of the same noise and barrier that they're seeking for their property.
Thank
Well,
you.
that's and that makes sense to me, Rob, because I don't think yeah, I get what you're saying. A lot of people aren't going to actually ask for 8-foot fences, and most developers don't want to pay for an 8-foot fence. I don't think I like the price tag on it. And it always helps me to make sure I tell the buyers, hey, it wasn't me, I tried.
No, definitely fair. I will say I also approve fence permits. I get a lot of requests for 8-foot walls and a lot of pushback
Oh,
when
do
I hold
you?
them to 6 feet. So you're not alone in this. I'll say I had a request. I even brought it to the council, their last council meeting, as a discussion item because I have a resident along Canal Boulevard wanting to put a side lot fence. And I had to tell them, well, if you want to keep it on your property line, it has to be open. So you have zero noise protection. Or you have to set it 14 feet back and have it be a wall, and you're still limited to 6 feet. So there would be many people in Highland that I think would take advantage of this if it were an option.
Oh, really? Wow. That's okay. Well, that's news to me. I didn't realize that many people wanted them. But I'm learning that with the subdivision. So would it make more sense
I don't want to make your guys' life heck either, though. Would it make more sense if the buyers themselves came in to ask for it versus the developer? Or it sounds like it's good. They're going to get the same answer, right?
I mean, they'll likely get the same answer, at least from the city's view. I don't know what Craig will do, but I'll actually just give you a heads up that the Planning Commission, like I said, I took a discussion on fences to the council last Tuesday, not 2 days ago, a week ago, and there'll be a discussion item regarding fences and a public hearing on potential amendments for the 28th for a Planning Commission. So, depending on how this variance goes, you may want to, or you may want to have the owners come to that to discuss their views regarding that.
Boy, that's a great idea. I didn't know that was happening. Okay, that's wonderful. And then it might just resolve anything, so I don't have to do it. Because the last thing I want to do, I've worked with you guys enough that I don't want to step on any toes. I want to keep a good relationship, but I want to also make my buyers happy. So that's probably that little happy middle ground right there is having them come to that meeting.
And you'll say, I thought this was actually a requirement of the subdivision. I could be wrong, but usually we require developers to put in theme walls along collector roads.
We do not have it on ours, at least when I've looked at it.
Maybe the previous planner missed it when it got approved.
I don't know. Yeah, well, and I'll go back and verify. I swear I looked for it.
We've looked
Trying to
over
find
it
it.
and we haven't
Yeah.
seen it.
You're probably more familiar with the plans than I am, so you're probably right.
And because that was where we've debated just not putting a fence in yet and letting each buyer just kind of come up with their own fence idea. I don't love that idea because then they might pick different fencing. And that doesn't make my subdivision look as stellar as you pull in. But then
Right.
it allows them to do whatever it is that they're wanting to do. If they're wanting to try to go back in and say, hey, no, we demand this 8-foot fence. I don't want to come in and demand. That doesn't sit well with me. But if the buyers wanted to go, I don't know, that's we just keep going back and forth, or we just resolve it, put a fence in, and a 6-foot wall is dang nice. I mean, it would look better than a fence that they'd put in themselves, I'd think. Anyway, those are the thoughts we have internally. Not that it matters for you guys, but
Thank
oh,
you.
shoot.
And when is this code amendment meeting, Rob?
So the public hearing is being held fourth Tuesday. That's the 28th. So Planning Commission will take up some proposed changes to fencing ordinance. So we're opening up the code for that. So you might as well get comments in if you want to have anything else for them to think about. Again, if
Yeah,
the
that's great.
variance is granted, then you don't need that. But if it's not, then that might be the backup option.
Okay, yeah, and okay, yeah, we'll look into that. Yeah, obviously, if we get an 8-foot fence, I'll start putting it in. If not, maybe we'll just wait for the buyers and let them kind of. And they haven't bought the lots yet. They're just kind of in the talks, right? So
Right.
I don't want to go too far one way or the other anyway. But yeah, okay. Let's keep going.
Well, so I'm happy to wrap it up. And I don't mean to cut off the littles or others who want to speak, but I'm not seeing here the essential requirements to grant a variance. I mean, it has to approach constitutional protection. You have to almost be entitled to it under our constitutional right. A variance is meant to provide a solution when the ordinance almost affects a taking of someone's property. And we certainly have heard issues raised like privacy, but the difference is the privacy, or the, let's say, for example, it was a trespass issue or the failure to be able to use your property at all. Those are things that could be more likely to qualify for a variance. So I am happy to announce, Israel, you can say you tried officially.
Yeah, I
But
like that.
I don't have the ability, I don't believe, under the law to grant a variance in this circumstance. Let me also add
Well, you make me.
editorial. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Oh, I was just saying, you make me the hero and save me money.
Right, see?
So you're a good man.
I'll issue a short written summary of that. But the by the way, the legislature recently enacted a rule, a change to the code. And if you have a pencil, it's section in the state code, section 10-9A532. And what it says is if you have a development agreement, and if that development agreement is approved in the same process as a zoning amendment, then you can actually approve a project that doesn't conform to the rules exactly. So, if, for example, a subdivider came in and wanted to enter into a development agreement with the city, then the city could make a variance request unnecessary for what it's worth. Again, that would make it a political decision rather than a legal one, make it a policy question rather than one that turns simply on constitutional or the more difficult standards of the variance provision. So, for what it's worth, just keep that in mind.
That's good information. I appreciate that.
Sure. Any other comments or
Very helpful.
suggestions? Or...
None from the city.
All right. Well, I think that concludes our business. I'll issue a short response and appreciate everyone's help with this. And Israel and Andrew, I certainly wish you the best with this. It sounds like you've got some discriminating buyers, and I know Highland's a great place to live, and in particular, this part of town looks like a terrific location for new homes.
It really is. Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Thank
Thank
you.
you.